Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, as always, Jake. You could find me on X, Twitter, whatever you call it, at Louis Lewis 5. That's LEWYLEWIS and the number 5. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. Remember, check out previous shows. Today I'm covering my top 12 wide receivers. The last couple of episodes, I did my top 12 running backs, quarterbacks for the 2025 season. So be sure to look back and check those shows out. And with that, I'm also covering news every single week. So always tune in, click the little bell notification, subscribe. Let me know that you want more. And with that, let's get fantasy. It's showtime. News around the league right now is Rashad Bateman signed a 3 years, $36.75 million extension. $20 million is guaranteed. I'm pretty sure this is going right at this point for wide receivers in this day and age. I mean, salary cap keep going up, and you're going to pay your number two receivers $12-13 million a year. I know it's a lot of money for you and I, for the average person, but these guys put their life, their bodies on the line, and they get rewarded generously. And, you know, Rashad Bateman, he'll give you that 3 for 60 yards and a touchdown every third game, roughly. And it can be great for late round best ball. You never know. He might give you 4 or 5 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. So he's always there for, I guess, best ball by. Also, I apologize if I look exhausted, because I am. I've been busy all day. I'm a UPS driver, deliver nonstop. Also had soccer practice, parents versus kids versus, you know, the parents won against the kids today. Can't complain there. Also, I recorded a whole episode and my idiot self forgot to hit the unmute button. So this is my second time going through this. So it's probably going to go a little bit faster than the last one. I apologize, but I have to get up in the morning. I got to wake up in 6 hours to get back to my job. And anyways, I'm going to continue with the fantasy news for you. Anthony Richardson, I don't even know what to do about this guy. Dealing with shoulder injury, will not participate in the mini camps this week. I just cannot take this guy. He's good when he plays, but when does he play? I mean, realistically, when does he play? I have a bold state saying Daniel Jones will appear in more games than Anthony Richardson. I don't know if that's really a bold take anymore, because Richardson is always injured and Daniel Jones is there as a backup for what he signed 1 year, $14-15 million. I'm thinking Richardson starts maybe 6 games if we're lucky. 10 games for Daniel Jones, possibly. But I'm saying Riley Leonard from Notre Dame is going to start at least 1 game. You know what? Let's just do a hotter take than Daniel Jones. Riley Leonard is going to appear in more games than Anthony Richardson this season. Mark it on your calendars. I say it here first, June 10th, 2025, on Player Profiler. I just don't see it. I mean, he might even get in there for a couple rushes as well, Leonard, but hell, I'm saying it now. Also around the league, Jaire Alexander. I know we don't really talk much about defensive players, but the Packers are releasing him, all pro corner. I mean, this is going to kind of set the Packers back, so it might be more competitive games. They could also be trailing in some. meaning they're probably going to throw the ball more, hopefully, and or have negative game script. And, you know, maybe they'll even give you some garbage time plays. I mean, it's a love-hate relationship for us fantasy gamers, but that's what we live for, and that's why we do it, because we love the fantasy aspect. Next, Nick Chubb signing with the Houston Texans. It's already been a done deal. He was pending physical. I see that he is now signed. I think it's like a $2.5 million contract, but it could be worth up to $5 million. I think this has some underlying messages, though. In addition to it, we last heard Joe Mixon was dealing with ankle injury, and he was seen in a walking boot after practice. I mean, maybe there's more to the story than not, because I feel like this signing kind of was out of the left, you know, left field. I mean, we had last week, I reported Commanders and Bears were very interested in Nick Chubb. And now this week I'm saying the Texans are signing him. You know, that Mixon could, you know, he could be fine. I know he's supposed to be ready for training camp, but I still have a weird feeling that it could be more to this injury than we're getting leaked out. Also, last season, we seen Mixon miss 3 games. And from week 15 to the second round of the playoffs, he averaged only 53% of snap share. That's not good for a running back at all. So this signing could be, you know, also for a reliable backup. Maybe Mixon plays 3 games or Chubb plays 3 games and then vice versa every other game. So they get, you know, fresh legs in there. Who knows? Finally, the Aaron Rodgers drama has ended, but now it begins for you, Pittsburgh. Hey, congratulations. Me being a Packer fan, I don't have to worry about it anymore. I've been clear-headed for 2 years. I know Jordan Love is going to be our quarterback. He's going to finish as quarterback 1 this year. Not the 1 overall, but he's going to finish in the top 12. Check that episode out a couple weeks ago. I'll tell you he's in the top 12. But this deal is 1 year, $13.65 million, $10 million guaranteed, max value of $19.5 million with almost $6 million in playtime and team incentives. I mean, realistically, you look back last year, Pittsburgh got Russell Wilson for a veteran minimum, and they had Justin Fields on a trade, which was nothing. I mean, they're skating by with these freaking quarterbacks and getting great play out of them, or, you know, low paying jobs, I guess you'd say right now. And also maybe Will Howard learns a little bit from Aaron Rodgers this year. Who knows? Mason Rudolph is going to be nothing this year. If anything, they're going to start Will Howard just to see what they have in the rookie. But if Rodgers doesn't play well. But for right now, DK Metcalf should get a bump in the signing. Rodgers loves to hyper-focus targets and his true alpha number ones. Hell, just ask Garrett Wilson at the beginning of the year. He is hyper-focused. Then he goes and gets his best friend, Devontae Adams, and he got hyper-focused and finished in the top 12. He is a dark horse. He's a sleeper this year for me. And DK Metcalf should be drafted in the 4th, 5th round. So go out and get him. That's all the news and notes from around the league. And before we start, let's hear from the Podfather about my FFPC.
Hey, why do we partner with the FFPC? Because they have the widest variety of fantasy football formats, and it's the easiest place to find all types of fantasy football contests. in the world. What if you want to play for high stakes? Well, they have a $6 million prize pool with their Fantasy Players Championship. They also have way too early best ball leagues that start in February and dynasty leagues. They have the closest thing to a liquid market for orphans that there is in all of Dynasty. And the FFPC has sponsored us for half a decade because we are actually delivering information that can help fantasy gamers. And they're generating so much interest and bringing in so many new users, casual users even. The FFPC creates a unique experience where you can both compete against the best and make money. Use promo code UNDERWORLD to get $25 off your first team. $25 off your first team at the FFPC with promo code UNDERWORLD. Go get it!
Yes. FFPC, I mean, you're afraid that Dynasty League that you just joined with your friends and family members, that might just fold. But FFPC, it never folds. They always have orphans. And if somebody drops out of your league, guess what? They fill it with another guy. Use RotoWorld for $25 off your first time. Anyways, every year we see new faces in the top 12. When we see these guys finish in the top 12, and they are nowhere near projected to be that high. Heck, look at last year. Who expected these players? Brian Thomas Jr. finished fourth, and he was pre-ranked at 27. Terry McLaurin has never had a great season with or good quarterback play either. Finished as number six. He was pre-ranked at 18. Malik Nabers was the highest pre-ranked at 13th, but finished seventh. Now these two on the list, Jackson Smith Najigba, finished 10th last season. He was pre-ranked at 42nd overall for wide receivers. I mean, hell, we looked and he had a terrible rookie season. And we've seen that coming with the offensive play caller. What is it? Waldron. Terrible. And that's what he did with, you know, Roma Dunze. Maybe he sneaks in. Stay tuned. Just find out. And Jerry Jeudy last season, pre-ranked 54th. I didn't see him coming in. Finishing 11th. What the hell? Like, just amazing. You get new faces in there. And even 2 years ago, we'll look back. Puka Nacua, rookie year. Who the heck knew about him? You know, fifth round guy, BYU. Sean McVay did. He was pre-ranked 87th. Finish as wide receiver 4. DJ Moore, never had great quarterback play. Pre-ranked 23rd. Fish 6. Keenan Allen, 18th pre-rank, finished 7th. Nico Collins, 2 bad seasons. Third season, let's go off, finishes as 11, but he is pre-ranked at 61. And Brandon Ayuk, finished as 12, pre-ranked 29th. You see it every single year, injuries, surprises happen, they come out of nowhere. And so I kind of took some of that in consideration with my projections of my top 12. I mean, let's see if any of these guys surprise you. Let me know in the chat. Number 12, I have Tet McMillan. Yep, Tetaroa McMillan. T-Mac is what he likes to be called. 8th overall draft pick in this year's draft. We've seen two rookies last season break into the top 12 with Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. And Ladd was number 13. He was almost there. I mean, maybe he was number 12 if you go by 17 weeks. I'm pretty sure I pulled it up and it was 18 weeks that I did this. But nonetheless, Tet will be the only rookie to finish in the top 12 this season. Bryce Young came on strong at the end of the year. And now he has a true alpha 6'5 receiver that went back to back 1400 yards receiving in college. And he's always had at least 7-8 touchdowns minimum every season at Arizona. Dave Canales seems to be imitating what he had at Tampa a big physical receiver in Mike Evans. That was 6'5". Now you got T-Mac. That's 6'5". And also Canales' lone season as Bucks OC. Evans finished as wide receiver 7th with 136 targets, over 1,200 yards receiving, and 13 touchdowns. Now we look at the Panthers. Last season, leader, Xavier Leggett, 84, yeah. Since Thielen missed most of the season with a hamstring injury. But also, we take a look and we look at Bryce Young. After week 11, he averaged 33 pass attempts a game. If we do that for 17-game pace, he would rank 8th in the NFL last season in pass attempts. They're also going to be in negative game scripts, most likely. I mean, they finished 5-12 last year. The NFC South is wide open. They're probably going to be in negative game script. Who are they going to throw the ball to? Number one receiver on the team, Tetaroa McMillan. He is going to finish as a top 12 receiver this year. Now, number 11, call me crazy. This probably is the most surprising one. Jalen Waddle finishes as a top wide receiver this season. Last two seasons, sure, he's been underwhelming, finishing as wide receiver 34 and 48. Last year, Tua hurt all season, basically. And then your backups are Tyler Huntley or whatever. Terrible players. Yes, Huntley did make the Pro Bowl because of voting, but he's a terrible quarterback. Boyle, I think, started terrible quarterback. This year, you got Tua hopefully being healthy. If not, you have Zach Wilson that will hyper-focus on probably Waddle as well, or even Quinn Ewers. Never know. But last season was just out the door, I'd say. The year before that, his wide receiver 34 finish, he was hurt for 3 games, but averaged 15.26 points per game, which ranked 22nd among wide receivers. And also, we look at the first 2 seasons when he came into the NFL, he was wide receiver 13 and wide receiver 8. I think he gets back to that prime. I think last year was an outlier season. So looking at 2023 numbers, kind of basing with Tua being healthy, on our player metrics on playerprofiler.com, go out and check it out. Also, use all in package, use promo code Lewis, get $25 savings. That's Lewis, Lewis. But we look back and we look at data analysis on player profiler. Waddle ranked 4th in target accuracy, 8th in yards per route run, 7th in formation adjusted, 13th in target separation, 12th in yak yards, and 2nd in win rate. These numbers should be pretty comparable this year, and that is why Waddle is going to come back and finish in the top 12 this season. Also, I think Tyreek Hill gets traded this year, and Jonnu Smith, it's been rumored that he's not happy with his contract. He might be getting shipped back up to old Arthur Smith and reuniting with him, even though he had a bad season with Arthur Smith overall for fantasy purposes. But if he goes up there, hell, that middle is wide open for Jalen Waddle. So he is going to finish as a top wide receiver this year. At number 10, Nico Collins. Biggest question mark, can he stay healthy? After a wide receiver 12 finish in 2023, we had high hopes and the same production came out right away, and then he got injured. He only appeared in 12 games last season, but in those 12 games, he ranked 7th with 19.2 points per game among wide receivers. I think this Texans team is going to be pass-heavy offense. I mean, hell, they spent 2 draft picks on day 2 on Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. They also went out and got Christian Kirk this offseason, meaning I think they're going to be pass heavy. I understand they just got Nick Chubb. I understand that. But those two players are on the wrong side of their playing careers, Joe Mixon and Nick Chubb. Nico Collins on Player Profiler, he ranked fifth on our EXP, Explosive Play Rating. As long as he is healthy, he is going to finish as a wide receiver one this season. Number nine, I have Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Sure, Sam Darnold is no Geno Smith, but Darnold did support wide receiver two, Justin Jefferson, and wide receiver 25, Jordan Addison, last season in Minnesota. Yeah, sure, Jaxon Smith-Njigba is no Justin Jefferson, but he's a hell of a lot better than Jordan Addison, let me tell you. And if Addison finishes 25th with Sam Darnold as your quarterback, I mean, we're not even looking at the playoffs, so it doesn't matter if he's seeing ghosts in January. We're looking for regular season where he supported two top 25 wide receivers last year. This is still going to maintain Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He finished 12th for targets. He was number one in slot snaps in the NFL. I know Cooper Kupp is now there. Yes, I understand that, where Cooper Kupp likes to play a little bit of slot himself, but I think they could share. And we've seen this Clint Kubiak's offense in New Orleans last year be successful in having wide receivers coming across the middle. And that could be easily Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I think Cooper Kupp is going to play more outside. You're going to put your best players where they're best performing, and that's the slot. He also overall finished 7th in receptions, 10th in receiving yards, 7th in yak yards, and 2nd in true route wins. I expect big things coming from Jaxon Smith-Njigba this season, and that is why he is going to finish as wide receiver 9. At number 8, Brian Thomas Jr., the forgotten one last season. He was picked behind Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Roman Dunze, but he was still a first rounder nonetheless. He also ran a 4.33 at the combine last year, which makes sense because he ranked 3rd on our player metrics here at Player Profiler for explosive plays and 8th in EXP. This year, they add Travis Hunter, number 2 overall. He'll be playing defense. You don't draft a wide receiver number 2 overall if he's only playing receiver. He's going to play some corner as well. But a lot of people think this is going to hurt Brian Thomas. I think it's going to help him. Who did Brian Thomas have last year opposite of him? Gabe Davis, released. Christian Kirk, traded. Who else do they have? Parker Washington? Yeah. And, you know, the list goes on and on. They didn't have anyone else. Oh, Evan Ingram? He gone. And now you got Brendan Strange. You know, I think Thomas is going to have explosive plays again this year. I mean, hell, he runs a 4.33. And I think with Hunter being there now, it takes all the pressure off of Thomas. And it's going to free him up from double team, and the Jags this year should be in negative game scripts throughout the season. So he's going to be targeted very well once again. I mean, it's just going to find its way. Last season, he ranked 14th in targets with 133, 12th in receptions with 87, 3rd in receiving yards, 4th in yak yards, 6th in unrealized air yards, and 5th for total touchdowns. Where Lawrence is now healthy, these numbers can easily rise and make Thomas Jr. finishing as a top 10 wide receiver, if not top 5. Mark it on your boards. At number 7, I have Drake London. Sure, he's going to be hyper-focused, just like he was last season when Michael Penix took over this offense. The last 3 games, it's a small sample size, but listen to these numbers. If we put it in a 17-game pace, you'd get 221 targets. 221? Get the hell out of here. Oh, my God, if he had that. 125 catches, 1,995 receiving yards, and 11 touchdowns. Yes, these numbers are unrealistic. It's not going to happen. I understand he possibly could get 2,000. It ain't going to happen now. Let's just say he gets, 75% of it. It's still a high outcome. 165 targets, 93 catches, almost 1,500 yards, 8 touchdowns. Those are still a little bit high on my end, but say he gets 1,200 yards and, you know, he's going to be on pace and he's going to easily finish as a wide receiver one this season for the Falcons. Plus this Zach Robinson's team is going to explode in the second year with him. I mean, Drake London's going to lead the team in receiving, whereas Bijan's going to lead the team in rushing. It's going to be a match made in heaven, two fine players, and Michael Penix is going to have a great year as well. At number six, I have Puka Nacua. He has Adams there now instead of Cooper Kupp, which Nacua with Kupp there was a top target earner in the Rams offense. He still has Matthew Stafford as his quarterback. Nothing's changing there. He's got a new contract, so that won't be changing anytime soon. He is a top wide receiver pick, easily a redraft first rounder for me. He's been dominating the league since entering it. Last season, yes, he did not finish as a top 20 receiver, but that was because of his knee injury. He did, though, however, finish number two in points per game with 21.1. The only one he fell behind was Ja'Marr Chase, which we all know Ja'Marr Chase was on another level last year. He remains the Matthew Stafford's number one target earner in this Sean McVay's offense. Puka ranked number one in target rates at 43.6%. Yards per route run, 4.07. And first in formations adjustment, which is adjustment yards per route run for personnel and alignment. League average is 1.6. He finished at 3.87. That is over double the league average. He's going to finish as a top five receiver. I have him at number six. I mean, top five is, you know, can be in any order. I think Puka Nacua has the upside to finish in the top five, but I have him at six. Now for my top five, I have Amon-Ra St. Brown finishing as number five. He finished 11th for explosive plays, which he had 18 explosive plays, 142 targets, which was eighth in the league, 27.3% target share, which was ninth. Another solid performance, finishing second in receptions with 115, fifth in receiving yards with over 1,200, 15th in yak yards, and third in total touchdowns, which he had 12. Also, he was fourth in fantasy points per game. Yes, he does not have Ben Johnson there, but how can you not love this guy? He's just a chain mover. He's always going to be Jared Goff's number one read. And he does the dirty work. He's on the field constantly playing 85 to 90% of the snaps. He blocks for Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. And he moves the chains and he scores you touchdowns. Easily a top five wide receiver in the NFL. Number four, Malik Nabers from the Giants. Nabers dominated the league in so many categories last year, finishing with 16 explosive plays, which ranked 16th. His opportunities, he had 170 targets, which was second in the NFL, but still 170 targets. What the heck? Like, just amazing. I mean, he was a rookie, 170 targets. Plus, he missed a couple games. He had 34.9% target shares, which was easily first. 91.8 snap shares, which was ninth. So he's playing over, he's on the field 91% of the time, almost 92% of the time. That's amazing. I mean, for a rookie to come in and do that, 1618 air yards, ranked fourth. 44.8 air yards share, ranked third. Deep targets, he ranked fifth. All this made him finish third with 109 catches, seventh for over 1,200 yards receiving, 11th in yak yards, fourth in unrealized air yards, sixth in fantasy points per game with 18.2, and first in expected fantasy points per game with 23.8. Neighbors is a difference maker. There's no question about it. And hopefully he proved last year he's quarterback proof. I mean, he had Tommy DeVito throwing a ball, Daniel Jones, Drew Lock. Like, he went off in the championship for fantasy leagues last season with like 180 yards with Drew Lock. This year, you got Russell Wilson that should probably be a better statistical quarterback for Malik Nabers, and maybe even at the end of the season, Jackson Dart, or even, hell, even better, Jameis Winston might even play a couple games. And if he does, he's going to be wide receiver one on that week. Mark in your books. He's going to be soaring to the moon if Jameis Winston is the starter any game. And with that, like, there's no reason why he should not finish as a top five, in this case, number four overall wide receiver this year. My top three is basically in any order you could really say. I have Justin Jefferson for the Minnesota Vikings as number three, only because he lacks the quarterback play. I mean, yes, Kirk Cousins, no problem. Nick Mullins, no problem. Josh Dobbs, no problem. Last year, Sam Darnold, still no problem. Fast forward now, you have J.J. McCarthy. McCarthy started or missed all of his rookie season with a knee surgery injury, but gained valuable knowledge and sitting behind and learning how to be an NFL quarterback. And they didn't sign anyone. They didn't want anything behind him. I mean, they could have got Aaron Rodgers or whatever the case may be. You know, Aaron Rodgers wants to follow Brett Favre's footsteps and go to Minnesota and yada, 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 yada. You know, they didn't even bring him in. They don't even want him. They want to move forward with J.J. McCarthy. And I think it's going to be a match made in heaven for years to come for them. Jefferson showed he's quarterback proof. And the only reason I have him number three is because J.J. McCarthy ranks lower in the other two guys' quarterback play. Since coming into the league, though, Jefferson 2020, he's finished as wide receiver 6, 4, 1, 33, and second last year. Even the year that he finished 33rd, he only played in 10 games, but was fifth most in points per game at the wide receiver position. Easily a top five in the realm of possibilities, but I think it really just depends on quarterback play this coming year. But mark it on the calendar. He is going to finish as wide receiver 3. Wide receiver 2 this year in my rankings, CeeDee Lamb, Cowboys. How can he not? I mean, he had Cooper Rush as his quarterback last year, throwing him the ball, and it was terrible. I mean, he hyper-focused CeeDee Lamb, but his catchable balls were not that, you know, high compared to what Dak can throw. Now Dak is healthy. Why would he not be a number one, number two, number three wide receiver on the year? That's why I have him at number two. He's going to take the stuff underneath, especially now You got George Pickens as your outside receiver on the other side. Who do you have before? Jalen Tolbert, Michael Gallup, you know, all these other guys. Now he's got George Pickens. I can stretch the field and leave CeeDee Lamb playing the slot, taking anything underneath. Get out of the way, Jake Turd Ferguson, whatever you want to say. Get out of the way, because CeeDee Lamb is catching all the balls over the middle, and he can still play outside. It's just, he's going to be sensational this coming year. I just have him number two because number one, Ja'Marr Chase, come on. Triple crown winner, leading receptions, receiving yards, touchdowns. This guy is just amazing, and his quarterback play is top tier easily with Joe Burrow. Plus, what the hell did this Bengals team do to the offense last year or this offseason? You got Shamar Stewart that you drafted in the first round. The guy only has 4.5 career sacks at Texas A&M. Oh, you're going to replace him with the sack leader for the last 2 years in Trey Hendrickson because you still can't get him signed? Good luck with that. You know what? Do that, please, because this means gold. Gold for fantasy gamers, because the Bengals offense is going to soar because the Bengals defense sucks. It's just that simple. Bengals team sucks. How are you going to win games? You throw the ball to Ja'Marr Chase and easily become another one wide receiver as well. He's so young. I still can't believe Kyle Pitts got taken in front of him. Woo! I still can't believe that happened. Anyhow, that got sidetracked, squirrel. You know, but Ja'Marr Chase is easily a top five wide receiver this year, but I still have him number one again. He might even have that triple crown winning again this year just because that defense is so bad and they play so poorly. Ja'Marr Chase to the moon, and that is my top 12 wide receiver rankings. Let me know, chat, who do you think I miss? Who do you think ranks better? Who do I have way too high, way too low, whatever? Let me know. I just want to hear your thoughts. And, you know, I understand, like, I could have had Ladd McConkey, could have had other players, Garrett Wilson. I just have to put some, be realistic, because you, like I said before, you have like roughly like 4 or 5 new faces that is in the wide receiver, top 12 wide receivers of every year. Let me know though. And that is a wrap of today's show of Fantasy End Zone. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe, click the little bell notification. It helps me, helps the channel. Also, it's free. Why would you not? It's free. Just click it, follow me. Follow me on Twitter at LouisLewis5. That's LeyLewis, and the number 5. And, you know, I hope you have a good week. Till then, I'll talk to you fantasy heads next week. And with that, peace out.